Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us want to reach optimal levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you on each of my Healthy Alternative shows. My guest today I'm going to be interviewing in a few minutes is Daniel Burrows. Dan is considered one of the world's leading technology forecasters and business strategists. He's an advisor to many Fortune 500 companies, and he's author of 6 books, including the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestsellers, Flash Forward, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. And we're going to be talking to him about what's coming down the road, since he's a future forecaster, futurist, and we're going to look more specifically at what's going on from a health standpoint. We'll be talking to Dan in just a few minutes. Every week I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about today is the California Right to Know 2012 ballot initiative, which is asking California's vote to requiring things that are genetically modified organisms, corn and soy and all kinds of things like that have, and sold in the supermarket, have labels on them. So consumers have a choice of choosing to purchase something that is GMO products or choosing not to. Now, the opponents of GMO labeling, which comes from, in part, the Council for Biotechnology Information, includes Monsanto, Dow, and other GMO companies, they're putting out saying that GMO labeling will raise food costs by hundreds of dollars per family. Turns out that's not true at all. According to Joanna Shepherd Bailey, she's a PhD, a renowned tenured law professor from Emory. She's testified before the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee and before the Committee on Law and Justice of the National Academy of Sciences. Her analysis reveals that GMO labeling will likely cause no increase in consumer costs at all. What Shepherd Bailey found is that the one-time average per product cost to manufacturers of redesigning all food labels is about $1,100. That represents 0.03% of annual product sales, and this is a one-time deal. The one-time average per store cost for putting up placards disclosing GMO engineering will be about $2,800, or about 1% of annual sales. Now, keep in mind, manufacturers change their labeling all the time. Have you ever seen new and improved, a new logo, a change of color, change of design? All of those are label changes. And guess what? The companies don't pass those costs on to the consumer. In addition, they're going to have 18 months if this legislation is initiated, which means it might not cost them anything at all just from their standard changes that they do in labelings. And even in the worst case scenario, if these costs were passed on consumers, you're talking about $1.27 one-time increase in the total annual food costs for the average household in California. Genetic labeling in California is our way to stop Monsanto and Dow and those companies from creating food products that have all kinds of risks attached to it, and more studies are coming out. Many countries around the world prohibit GMO. We're one of the few that Monsanto has been able to buy off the legislatures to keep GMO coming. So if you want to donate some money, get in touch. Just Google the California GMO labeling, right to know ballot, and send some money their way. If you live in California, please vote for this. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a free monthly e-newsletter called the Teplitz Email Report. It's nutrition, health, wellness-wise also, but it's things I don't usually put on healthy alternatives. If you'd like to sign up for that, go to Teplitz.com, click on the Home About button, you'll be able to sign up there. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest information, latest discoveries about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about is Alzheimer's disease and an herb that's showing great promise in stopping it. It's an Indian herb. It's a part of India's Ayurvedic medical system. It's been used for thousands of years, and it's often regarded as an herb for stress reduction and improving energy and vitality. It's called ashwagandha. Ashwagandha. Now, some of the new research is showing that this may also fight off the devastating effects of Alzheimer's disease. So this is a study that was published by researchers at the National Brain Research Center. It was on mice, and what they were able to do by using an ashwagandha extract, they were able to reverse memory loss, improve cognitive abilities in the mice that had the disease. So initially, the mice with Alzheimer's were unable to learn or retain what they learned. But after receiving ashwagandha for 20 days, they improved significantly. Now get this, after 30 days, the behavior of the mice returned to normal. So there was a tremendous reduction in what's called the amyloid plaques that were in the brain. These are nerve tangles of nerve fibers, and they had improved cognitive abilities. Interestingly, the herb doesn't seem to work by affecting the brain directly. What it does, it works by boosting a protein in the liver which enters the bloodstream and then helps clear these amyloid plaque from the brain. So they're starting to look at doing human studies so that there may actually be a treatment not too far down the road for Alzheimer's. Before I bring on my guest, Daniel Burris, I have a favor to ask of you. Healthy Alternatives is listened to by around 70 to 100,000 listeners a month. I'd like to get it out to even more people. I'd appreciate it if you like what you're hearing. You would Twitter, you post on your Facebook, you email friends and family about this so that they can look at learning what you learn in Healthy Alternatives. To purchase this at a special internet price, you can go to migraineandheadache.com. Migraine and is A-N-D, headache.com. My guest today is Daniel Burris. Dan is considered one of the world's leading technology forecasters and business strategists. He is a strategic advisor to many Fortune 500 companies, and he's helped them develop successful competitive strategies based on the creative application of leading-edge technologies. Dan is the author of 6 books, including the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller, Flash Forward, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. The New York Times has referred to him as one of the top 3 business gurus in the nation, and he's a highly innovative entrepreneur. He's founded and managed 6 businesses, 3 of which were national leaders in the United States in their first year. And so, Dan, how did you start? And by the way, for the listeners, I know Dan personally. I've known him for many years, and so I'm delighted that he's actually here. And so, Dan, how did you start becoming and focusing on becoming a kind of technological guru?
Well, before I started the 6 companies, I actually taught biology and physics. So I was a science guy and a research guy. And I was I was always interested not just in technology, but where it was all going. And in the 6 companies that I've started over the years, once I left teaching, all of them dealt with, looking into the future, where technology was going, and leveraging that to create new opportunities. So in the last 30 years, I have been writing and speaking about how to accelerate growth and do things. Matter of fact, what I've been doing, Jerry, is the subtitle of my latest book. So it's Flash Foresight, and the subtitle is How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. And you might think, well, how could anyone do the impossible?
Yeah, how can you do the impossible, fella?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me give you a quick one on that one. And that is, if you go back to the dawn of time when human beings first set foot on this planet, and then you look at all the things that we're doing today, most of the things that you and I do on a daily basis, including recording this program right now and getting it out to all of those listeners, was impossible. It was decades ago we even put a man on the moon. So, and at one time that seemed impossible. So the point I'm making is humans have been doing impossible things ever since we've been around. How do we do impossible things? And the answer is you make invisible opportunities visible. You make the solutions to seemingly impossible problems become visible. And once those solutions become visible, you get the foresight to move forward in a way you couldn't have done before. So that's what I've been doing. And in the book, I've got 7 principles that make that invisible visible, giving you the foresight to move forward. So there's the nutshell of what I've been doing.
So give us an example of 1 or 2 of those principles that lets you see what you can't see.
Yeah, really good. Let me give you one that's very counterintuitive, and that is we've got a very uncertain world we're in right now.
You don't know what's happening
with Europe and all the money that's going on. We don't even know who's going to be the next president.
Yep.
Who knows what's happening with the stock market. And so strategy, whether it's personal or business, based on uncertainty, has high risk. So in a world of uncertainty, I have to ask, what am I certain about? So principle number 1 is start with certainty. So, for example, we're about to get the iPhone 5 sometime soon. But nobody's talking about the iPhone 6. Could you predict accurately things about the iPhone 6? And the answer is definitely. For example, do you think it'll have a faster processing chip in it than the iPhone 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1? And, of course, yeah. And have they fit the maximum amount of information in those things, or do you think they'll have more memory? And, of course, they'll have more memory. And we're putting all this stuff in the cloud. Well, do you think the cloud is full, or do you think there might be room for some more? And we've got 3G wireless. We're getting 4G wireless. Do you think that's it, or do you think you might be able to predict what they'll call the next one? You see where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
and we've got 78 million baby boomers, and they're getting older. They're not getting younger. So could we predict a lot of future problems and/opportunities based on that? And those certainties I'm calling hard trends, which are the trends that will happen versus the trends that might happen. Good to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Now, let me ask you a question then, because you've been tracking, quote-unquote, these hard trends, I gather, for a long, long time, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So are there hard trends that don't happen also? Or pretty much when you're seeing a hard trend, your experience has been it really does manifest pretty much the way you were thinking?
Well, that's the beauty of it. I have been tracking these for 30 years, and the amazing thing is, and one of the reasons I think the latest book has been a New York Times, Wall Street Journal bestseller is, they always happen. Because a hard trend will happen, absolutely. As a matter of fact, when you're done listening to this program, start making a little list of the things that you are certain about and eliminate anything that you think won't happen. And, for example, I just gave a speech where I had 1,000 CEOs of mid-sized IT companies in the audience, and after teaching them the difference between hard trends and soft trends, I had them all write down one hard trend they knew would impact their business over the next several years, and it was an absolute certainty. Well, we not only got 1,000 because there were 1,000 people in the audience, several of them wrote 3, 4, and 5 of them. And I've been doing that for years. So literally, I'm sitting on a mountain of thousands of hard trends, which what I'm getting at is most of us, Jerry, are way too busy to deal with the future. Whether it's our personal health, which I know we're going to get into in this interview, as well as our own business future and our personal future. We're all so busy. Let me ask you a question. You think the top 5 executives of IBM every day for the 2 years before they went bankrupt were really busy?
And of course, you know, yes.
Yeah, of course they were busy. Didn't mm-hmm. help them, won't help you or me or anyone else either. Being busy is what we are, but you can't be busy all the time. You also have to be strategic about your future, your personal future, your health future, your life future, as well as your business future. That's really what I'm trying to do, is to get us to be more anticipatory versus reactionary, because the changes that are coming are quite profound. I'll even just throw out this little tidbit for our listeners, and that is, based on the hard trends that I've been studying, based on where all this stuff is going, over the next 5 years, and by the way, that's a short amount of time, we will be transforming globally, not changing, transforming how we sell, how we market, how we communicate, how we collaborate, how we innovate, how we train, how we educate. And if you're just changing those things, you're going to undershoot. We're really actually transforming those things. Quick difference. When I was a young guy, I could listen to one album per spinning disc, 33 and a third. And that was, of course, how I heard my music. And then as I got older, there was a change, and that was CDs. Now, I had a smaller spinning disc, one per album. And, of course, I got all my old stuff on CD because I got rid of the hisses and the pops and the scratches. Today, I got all my music. I've got all my photographs. I've got all my videos. I've got the Internet, and I've got all my emails and everything else in my shirt, or it might be in your purse. Wherever it may be, it's in that one device. And that didn't change how I listen to music. It transformed it. That's what I'm getting at. And we're at the base of a mountain of transformation that represents a lot of change and disruption for people if they don't see it coming, but it represents amazing opportunity if you take the time to see it coming. That's what I'd like you to do.
So you're talking about a hard trend, like how music has changed and the availability of it for folks, and then you've got the folks who don't want to go with the trend. In other words, the folks who still want to listen to vinyl, kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. I was just with a friend of mine last night that I was at a little get-together, and I remember him saying distinctly, I will never get a cell phone. Of course, he got a cell phone. I remember him saying, I will never get a answering machine years before that. Of course, he got an answering machine. Then he said, I'd never get a laptop. Well, of course, he's got a laptop. So, you can try to hang on, and as a matter of fact, there's a bright future for collectibles and for those alternatives. There is a lot of people right now, including Joe Walsh in his new album that just came out called Analog Man, where he says, I love to listen to albums in the old vinyl way. Sure, it's a both-and future. The past doesn't go away. It gets changed along with the future that is doing the shaping. Quick example, right now, we still have mainframes, we still have desktop computers, and we still have laptop computers, yet for most of us, our primary computer has become our smartphone. That's the computer you're using the most. Yet, we still have mainframes. See, the old doesn't go away, it just gets repurposed as the new transforms.
So before we continue, we're going to take a smart break. And I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives, Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Dan Burris, in just a moment. I want to tell you about a DVD I have available called Instant and Headache Migraine Relief. It shows you a Japanese pressure technique called shiatsu that you can do on yourself as well as others, and shows you how to get rid of a headache in 90 seconds, a migraine in 5 minutes. There's also treatments for stiff neck, sore shoulders, so that you can actually do this on yourself, and there's even a treatment for sinus colds.
To order the Instant Headache and Migraine DVD, go to migraineandheadache.com. That's migraineandheadache.com. And keep in mind there is a 60-day money-back guarantee.
So my guest today is Daniel Burris. Dan is considered one of the world's leading technology forecasters and business strategists. He's advised many Fortune 500 companies on how to develop successful competitive strategies. He's the author of 6 books, including his latest, Flash Foresight, was a New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller. And we've been talking to him about seeing the future and hard trends. Let's now take a look at the health side as to what you're seeing, the wellness side of what's going on out there with all the obesity we got, heart disease, and medical cause disease. What are you seeing coming down the road, Dan?
Well, we've got, of course, there's predictable problems coming down the road as you've got 78 million baby boomers that are definitely getting older. And that is a hard trend. That's going to continue to happen. And, as of course we know, most healthcare needs and expense is as you age. As you get in the last 5 years of life, is where you spend typically 90% of your healthcare is spent in a person's lifetime. However, let me just separate the hard trends from the soft trends from a health perspective. And that is, over the last 10 years, there have been a declining number every year of people becoming doctors and nurses. And you might see a collision course taking place here. If there's less people becoming doctors and less people becoming nurses, and we got 78 million baby boomers getting older in this country, whoa, sounds like a problem.
Are they actually, there's another fact I just read. That's because with the Affordable Health Care Act, you're going to have 30 million more people having access than they have now to coverage.
Absolutely. So what I'm getting at with all of that is we've got less people becoming doctors and nurses. That's been going on for 10 years. Is that a hard trend certainty that that will continue? And the answer is no, frankly, that's a soft trend. You see, if a trend can be changed, it's soft. If it's going to happen whether you like it or not, it's a hard trend. Just like we're putting more and more of our data in the cloud, that's going to continue. You aren't going to change that. There's a lot of reasons for that I won't get into right now, but the fact that schools are starting to realize that it's cheaper to give the students an iPad and electronic textbooks that are now multimedia than it is to give them paper books, and they save so much money doing that that they can afford to get every kid a tablet, by the way, which is a computer, and not lay off as many teachers. I could go on and on, but the point I'm getting at is that in healthcare, what we have to do is take a look at our own visible future. And one that you will especially find interesting is a project I worked with Accenture on a number of years ago, and I think you'll see this coming out soon because it actually works. I've seen it. And that is, you look in this device like a mirror. Imagine doing this with a laptop. It was originally designed to be a kiosk, but because of computer power getting stronger, I think we'll see this as a product that you could just do on your laptop or your phone even or your tablet. So you look in this thing and you see a mirror and you see yourself in there. And then there's some questions and about lifestyle, 10 questions. For example, do you smoke? Do you drink? Do you exercise? How much? Things like that. And then you dial the clock forward 20 years. And it changes and shows you what you're going to look like 20 years from now based on your lifestyle. And then what you can do is change some of your lifestyle. In other words, what if you stop smoking? How would that affect how you're going to look in 20 years? And you'll see. And what if I started exercising more? And you'll see. And it's very dramatic in helping you to see the future consequences of your actions today, because it's going to have to shift, really, to a prevention mode, because the break-fix model, the healthcare break-fix model we have today, is not working well. One other little thing, and that is that we're going to see mobility in healthcare take off. For example, you can already get diabetes. You can check diabetes right now connected to your smartphone and a simple little device that can give you the entire readout faster and cheaper with your phone. You can connect blood pressure, EKG, pulse, and temperature, a little device to an iPhone right now, and you can do that. And those little micro sensors could be distributed widely and cheaply, because it saves money versus having everyone come into an ER when they really don't need to. They could, in other words, we're going to do a lot of preventive medicine at home, because we're going to do this remote disease management because of your smart devices, and we're going to do chronic disease management by your smart devices. All sorts of things like that, including pre-diagnostics before you ever decide you got to go in. There's
even do you see any kind of healthy trend, the hard trends which you're talking about, with organic growing to a much higher level and, in effect, going beyond what conventional can do?
Yep, and glad you asked that. And the answer is, of course, yes. I was talking about that 15, 20 years ago, and how as the baby boomers got older, and of course that was 15, 20 years ago, now we're there. As all the baby boomers start getting into the age that they are now, they, unlike being 20, 30 years ago, have the money to end their older, looking at their own mortality, saying, you know, I don't want to just be older. I want to be healthier as I get older. So with the aging baby boomers, we're seeing an increased explosion of organics, natural, and healthier types of diets, because all of those aging baby boomers don't want to be like grandma and grandpa and either die young or have an unhealthy last 15 or 20 years of their life.
Yeah, I'm also seeing the trend is people want to be working more or doing something, as opposed to, you know, the sitting on the rocker kind of thing that a lot of our parents did when they retired, and still having a reason to live, in effect.
Exactly. Matter of fact, what I would suggest people to do if they have the money to retire, which a lot of people aren't going to have and will be forced to work, but for those that can retire, I think it's great to find ways that you can give back to charities or other types of people in need, where you can take your expertise or just your time, and by helping others, somehow it is a fountain of youth. So I think if you haven't thought of that, if you're getting into that zone right now listening to this, think about that one.
Now, in your book, you talk about taking our biggest problem and skip it. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, that's one of the other principles, one of the seven. Take your biggest problem and skip it. Whatever problem you've got, that's not it. No wonder you can't solve it. You see, you're working on the wrong one. For example, on a simple level, people would say, I can't save any money. Boy, I'm trying to save money. I try really hard, but I can't save money. Of course, the problem is, that isn't the problem. They should be working on how they spend money. See, if they were working on how they spent their money, they'd save money by default. Let me give you a quick business example. I was working, it'll take 1 minute. I was working with a big drug company, Eli Lilly, and they said, we got a problem. Right away, of course, I knew that wasn't it. And they said, we got to hire about 2,000 additional PhD researchers. And I said, why? And they said, well, that's because to get our drug price or our stock price up, we got to get more drugs in the pipeline. To get more drugs in the pipeline, we need to solve molecular problems. To solve molecular problems, we need more researchers. Our problem is we don't have the budget. So I said, well, then let's skip that problem. Why don't we take all of your molecular problems, post them on the internet in a dozen languages, and say we pay for solutions? Well, they did that about 10 years ago, and now they've got thousands and thousands and thousands of researchers all around the world submitting solutions to their molecular problems, and Eli Lilly buys the ones they want to buy. In other words, that was, you know, they were working on the wrong problem. Matter of fact, one on a health-related example, I was giving a speech to a large audience not long ago. I was sharing the problem-skipping concept, and when I finished, there was a woman off to the side that wanted to talk to me privately who had been in the audience. And she said, I heard what you said about that problem skipping thing. I got a problem I can't skip. And I said, well, what is it? She said, I was diagnosed recently with terminal cancer. Surgery won't work. Chemo won't work. Nothing's going to work. I've got less than a year to live. I'm really here at this conference to say goodbye to my old friends. They just don't know I'm saying goodbye. And I don't want to die. I can't even sleep at night. I'm thinking about dying all the time. Hey, how do I skip that? And I said, well, why don't you skip thinking about dying until you're dead, and why don't you start thinking about living while you're alive? Well, it seems rather simple, but Jerry, she sent me an email about 3-4 weeks later. She was in Europe with her sister and basically said, thanks, you changed my life. Now, you know, she may not be here on the planet today, but she at least skipped the part she was having problems with because it was another problem.
Yeah, that becomes more of the notion of quality of life versus length of life. And I think that becomes a very important part of people's future is, you know, just having long life, being sick as and immobile and things like that versus having a quality life. And what you gave her is you gave her quality of life back.
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the great things that I've really liked and respected so much about you over the years, too, is your dedication to trying to help people to look at their future, at the future of their health and their well-being. It isn't just about how old you're going to live. It's about the quality of life that we have between now and then. And that means we have to do something about it now. You see, most people have a wait-and-see attitude, or I'll do that tomorrow. I'll work on my health tomorrow. I'll work on all that tomorrow. But tomorrow stays in the future. It never happens. So I think what we have to do is really ask ourselves, in order to have a really great future, I need to be taking some steps today. I have to be an active participant in shaping my future rather than a passive observer.
So for listeners, if they'd like to learn more about what Dan has available, you can go to his website at Burrus, BURRUS.com. And Dan, you also have some special apps for our folks. And
yeah, I do have an app. But very quickly,
talk about it all.
Yeah, very quickly, if you'd like, what I put together is a little app that will work on any smartphone. If you go and do a text message, 99000, 99000, that's what you put in for the text, and then that's the number you put in, and then the message is DANBURRUS. It's my name, Dan Burrus, no spaces, DANBURRUS, and you'll get back a little app that will give you access to my blogs and my videos and my Twitter, and I've also got a newsletter that I normally charge for, but I've got a trial subscription I'll give you in there as well. So there's a little something extra.
So if they put in this text, they'll be able to get that free subscription.
Yep, 99000, and text it to Dan Burrus, no spaces.
Great. Dan, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
Next week, my guest on Healthy Alternatives will be Sharon Promislow. Sharon has been a practitioner and instructor of an area called Brain Gym, Touch for Health, 3-in-1 Concepts, Wellness Kinesiology, Creative Learning, and Presentation Skills. She focuses on teaching her specialties in school districts, teacher in-service, education conferences, and for corporations. She's the author of Making the Brain-Body Connection, Putting Out the Fire of Fear, and the Top 10 Stress Releasers. And she's toured North America with Making the Brain-Body Connection, which is one of 100 best-selling books in cognitive psychology. And we're going to be talking to her next week about the whole concept of how learning happens. With school starting, this will be very valuable information for you and your kids as to things you can do to affect their school performance very positively. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.